You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition, and we have some movement in the polls. It didn't surprise me, and rather significant movement, and it's definitely favorable to Donald Trump. Now, I want to caution everyone about polls. They're at best snapshots, and you really should look at the trend. Are they moving up or down? Because they will change. They're only a sample of the population, and that's where you can get in trouble, because it should be a random sample if it's truly designed right. But more importantly, it has to be representative of the voters out there, and where you overweight either the number of Democrats or Republicans, and that's what's going on. At least several weeks ago, remember, Hillary Clinton, they were planning the inaugural, the balls, as well as, and they should, they, it looked like this was going to be a runaway election. She was 9, 10, 11, 12% up in the polls. Now, did you believe that? No, I didn't believe that at all. And the reason is very simple, and I've said this repeatedly. I call them the big lie media, and because there are only about six media companies that own most of the media today. It's the television networks and the big city, the New York, Washington, Los Angeles, Chicago newspapers, and they put out these polls, and about 95% of the people that work there are what? They're Democrats, and they're for Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is the big lie media's candidate. So they are manipulating the news, and one way they manipulate the news is using polls. My take on what was happening a couple of weeks ago, they were trying to suppress the Trump vote. It's all over, folks. We've won it. You might as well stay home. And I'm saying that because I know some of you that haven't voted early, and I'm not for, in Texas, we have, and it just ended today, this evening, will end early voting. I've never been in favor of that. Now, I do think we should have some accommodation because people work. And I think a much better idea is to have 2 days of voting, Saturday and Sunday. I don't even go further. Maybe three. Saturday, Sunday, because some people work on Saturday and Sunday. Do Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. 4 days of voting. That's sort of the limit in my, if I were, let's say, king for a day. And why? Because people that work during the day, they have Saturday and Sunday to vote, and people that work on the weekends can then vote either Monday or Tuesday. I know some people are going to be working all those days. That way, it accommodates everybody. It's 4 days, and it's over with. It doesn't drag out on and on. But the more important thing is you want to make your decision to vote as close to a point in time. And today that will be Election Day coming up November 8th, Tuesday, where the majority of the American people will vote. What we're seeing with this early voting is unintended consequences. People will vote early based on what they knew about the candidates at that point of time, either good or bad. And that could favor either the Democrat or Republican Party. Many said this really favored Hillary Clinton. And they said that because Hillary Clinton or the Democratic Party has a better ground game, is what it's called. They have field offices in most cities and towns, and you need that. Just to review, I have an acronym I call MAMA. If you want to be elected president of the United States, you got to have MAMA. Now, that's not referring to your mother. What MAMA stands for is money, organization, message, momentum, and ambition. Now, it's clear both Trump and Clinton want to be president. So ambition is not really the problem here. They really want to win. Now, early on, many people said Trump did not want to win. Well, that was always a suspicion that he was running just to be a spoiler and really enable Hillary Clinton to win. No, I was fairly early on, I said he's in it to win. He wouldn't be doing this at all if he didn't want to win. It just, there are too many downsides or negatives of running just for a couple of weeks or a couple of months and then dropping out, similar to what Ross Perot did in Texas, in Dallas, Texas. And Ross Perot never wanted to run for president. And he made the mistake of letting his name go forward and then dropped out and then got back in. Even with all that mess in history, he got near 19% of the popular vote. And he was very, very popular in Texas. So early on, many people thought, well, Donald Trump is just going to be another rich guy, Ross Perot. He's not serious. He's just a spoiler. Well, he wasn't. And he wasn't a clown. He was dead serious about this. And all the pundits and all the elitists, both in the Democratic and Republican Party, were laughing at him, dismissing him, being critical of him. And who did he beat? He beat 16 Republicans. And right now, if his momentum continues, he will be beating Hillary Clinton come Tuesday. Remember, the polls don't count for anything. The election wasn't 2 weeks ago. It wasn't 4 weeks ago. Because if it was, Hillary Clinton would be president-elect. The only poll that counts is November 8th, really. I'm not saying you people that voted early, your vote doesn't count. It does count. And in some states, you can actually change your vote. But keep in mind, who are the two, besides Texas, what two states have a large number of voters coming out on Tuesday? New York and California. Do they have early voting? No, they don't have early voting. You know why they don't have early voting? They don't need it. They're clearly going to be won by Hillary Clinton. Now, I joked a couple of shows ago, if it's really a landslide victory, and I don't think Donald Trump is going to get a landslide victory, such as when Reagan, the second time he ran in 84, actually that's the third time, when he ran the second time, 1984, for a second term, that was a landslide. He carried 49 states, the only exception being Minnesota. Donald Trump is not going to have a landslide victory. He might have, but he won't. And the reason is quite simply the Democratic Party, the Clinton campaign, they have opposition research and they dug up some dirt and they threw it at him. And some of it stuck. And that combined with Donald Trump getting off message for a while, it looked like Donald Trump was going to be a loser, not a winner, a loser. And Donald Trump does not want to be a loser. So Donald Trump finally got his act together, has been staying on message. And it shows if you listen to his campaign speeches and rallies. And keep in mind, and this is something that you don't pick up in the polls, go online and do yourself a favor. Look at Hillary Clinton campaign events. Usually they're in a small room compared to Trump's, and they're not well attended. At best, 100, maybe 200 people. Notice the cameras don't give you the big picture. They're locked down, giving you just the podium, and that gives you the impression that there are thousands of people listening to Hillary Clinton. They're not. People aren't showing up, and it's true of both Hillary Clinton and her vice president candidate. They're not showing up. And in some cases, it's embarrassing. I think Tim Kaine had an event, and not even 10 showed up. Now, you can call that bad preparation. No, it's not bad preparation. The voters don't want to come out. Hillary Clinton's problem, and this is a theme that, or a concern that I raised really early on before this started, that this election, more than any other that I can think of, will turn on two issues. One, and the most important, especially at this time, is trust. Do you trust this person? And I think in the case of Hillary Clinton, the answer is a resounding no. Now, that has consequences. When people don't trust you because you have a reputation for lying and misleading and not telling the truth, they turn you off. They don't want to listen to you, and they certainly don't want to spend their time and money attending one of your rallies, or for that matter, listening to one of your campaign ads. That's a very significant point that the pollsters aren't picking up. And many of the people, you know, I've never been polled at all, and most people haven't, even because the samples are relatively small. And that's something you got to also consider when I mention polling. It's the size of the sample, ladies and gentlemen. It should be definitely over 1,000, 1,200 or higher. If you have these snap polls where they do a couple of hundred, it's garbage because the error is like 5 to 10% or more. So you need to be very careful. And frankly, I would turn it off. Don't believe any of the polls. That's the best policy. But if you do, some of them are saying what? And this isn't a surprise. Donald Trump is tied. Colorado, Michigan, New Hampshire, Nevada, Pennsylvania. Now, the last one is rather important. Because I'll repeat it again, I think Pennsylvania will be one of the bellwethers. If Pennsylvania goes for Trump, together with Florida and Ohio, you can go to bed. Trump will be your next president. Those are the three key states in my estimation. Right now, in Florida, both Clinton and Trump are running neck and neck. But I think Trump will win Florida. The same in Ohio. Trump is ahead, and I think Trump will win Ohio. The key will be Pennsylvania. He has to win all three, but it's Pennsylvania that's going to really be not early in the night, although the polls close fairly early, but around 11 or 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, you'll finally get the results in. If they go for Trump, then Trump has a mandate. He doesn't have a landslide. It's not going to be a repeat, for example, of the 1984 Reagan election. Not at all. Not even close. But it does mean that the polls have been wrong, wrong, and wrong. And be careful. On election day, what happens? They have polls. As people exit the voting place, they are polled. They are even more unreliable. Totally discount and ignore anything you hear about them. Either way, and for people that are new to the show, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I don't have a horse in this race. Some have said, well, you're really a Trump supporter. No, I'm not. Trump wasn't my first, second, third, or fourth choice. And the reason's very simple. I'm a classical liberal. I believe in limited government, very much like the founders of this country believed in it. I want a representative republic under a constitution, the United States Constitution. And the problem is we are well past that point. We are an American empire. Both political parties are big government parties. And until we have another third party that's successful nationally, both starting at locally, at cities and towns, counties, states, and in the House races and the Senate races, nothing fundamentally is going to change. In other words, the status quo will remain. There will be minor changes. There always are. But anything of significant change is not going to happen. That's why I said, even if Donald Trump wins, what is he going to be able to do? Not much. Even with a mandate, he can't do very much. He would have needed a Reagan 1984 landslide, and he's not going to get that. Nobody is seeing that. If that happens, and I was joking a show or two ago, well, that could happen. Nothing is impossible. But for that to happen, New York State would have to vote for Trump. That's not going to happen. But there could be a miracle. And if it's going to be a sweep, it have to carry California. No one in his right mind, and that includes me too, would say that Trump is going to carry New York and California. But that's what a landslide would involve. Remember, Reagan won 49 states for those that are millennials and were more or less either not born or babies. That's what a landslide looks like. And I would say that he could have carried that 50th state, too. He was that popular. Donald Trump is not that popular. He is a populist candidate. He's an outsider, and he's running against the establishments of both the Republican and Democratic Party. And they've been trying to really force him out and have not succeeded. He's up against the Clinton machine. And that means they have the support, first and foremost, of big lie media, the major news networks, the television news networks, even the radio news, as well as the newspapers, print media. And they have the backing of who? The donor class. The owners and donors. The owners and donor class. The majority give their money to who? They usually give it to both parties. But this time, they're all in for Hillary Clinton. Doesn't mean they don't back some of the senatorial as well as House of Representative candidates. They certainly do. But Wall Street, your large Fortune 500 companies, your large companies, and their executives, the owners of those companies, the founders of those companies, are all in for Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is the elite establishment's candidate. Make no doubt about it. That's why you keep hearing stories that George Bush, Daddy Bush, is maybe going to vote for Hillary Clinton. I don't care who he votes for. And the same thing with his son and his family. I didn't want to vote for a Clinton, nor did I want to vote for a Bush. Why? They're both big government parties. They're the presidents that want big government, including the so-called, and it's not me saying this, is Daddy Bush, a new world order. Well, the American people are sick of the New World Order because they've gotten the short end of the stick because the New World Order means open borders. That's what they really want, open borders. Let anybody that can get here become a citizen of the United States. That's what Hillary Clinton is for. Now, I mention that not because I'm going to do another immigration show. I've done several of those. But that is the issue. If there is any one issue that you can point to that elevated Donald Trump and gave him a fairly good shot first to get the nomination, it was that. He picked the wedge issue that the American people, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, socialists, they are against illegal immigration. They're not against immigration, and that's important to say. The American people, including me, are for immigration. Provided you come here legally, I have no problem with it. I do have rather strict limits on that, and that I don't go along with the Republican establishment, not to mention the Democratic establishment. They want is more people that can come from any other country. Be my guest. Come right in. That is more or less the attitude of the Democratic Party. The Republican Party wants to limit it to maybe 2 or 3 million people. Today, if you're not aware of it, a little over 1 million people come here every year. And I'm talking legal immigration. The American people never asked for that. Who asked for that? The owners of this country. They want cheap, compliant labor. Ideally, they want cheap, compliant labor that's legal. In other words, they have the legal status to work here. In other words, they came here the right way by legally immigrating. But what do the American people really object to? It's not legal immigration, although there are reservations on the number. What they're really against is illegal immigration, or what I call the illegal alien invasion of approximately 30 to 50 million illegal aliens that are here today. No one knows the real number. I don't. That are living and working. Many of them are children and their mothers, but all those children and mothers have fathers that are working here and are taking the place of U.S. citizens. And it's anywhere from 20 to 30 million. It could even be higher. That's what the American people object to. And that's why Donald Trump, whether you like him or not, is going to get their vote of the American worker because they're sick and tired of both parties ignoring them and being more concerned about illegal aliens instead of American workers, American citizens, born, raised, and educated here. So Trump is surging. He's tying in many states. He has, though, momentum. The momentum is his, and we have a little over 3 days to go. Less than 80 hours from now is Election Day. And that's the poll that counts. Not the exit polls when they come out, the actual voter count. Will there be fraud? Yes, there will be. But I still think, as long as it's not close, and close I mean 1% or less, some would say 3% or less, the Democratic Party is not going to be able to steal it. But big lie media, if you listen to them and listen to the television newscast, it was all over a couple of weeks ago. Now it's not all over. It's getting too close. Hillary Clinton's still in the lead. Notice that. They haven't said she's going to lose. They won't say that until sometime late Tuesday. And it's going to be, well, you won't believe this, but Donald Trump is your next president and Hillary Clinton lost. That will really stick in their throat and they'll wait to call it. The only thing that will force them to say it is competition. Who is going to be right the first time? And they want to be right. So there's not a rush to say that Donald Trump has won. Now, there is a rush to say Hillary Clinton has won, and that might very well happen, and that happened. Remember when Bush was running, and they called it early in Florida early when the panhandle hadn't voted? There'll be a little of that. There shouldn't be, and I hope there isn't, but there might be. What are they doing now? They're still telling you Hillary Clinton is going to win, and they might be right. But the lead has been cut more than half in less than a week. Less than a week. And there are about 80 hours remaining until Election Day. And a lot can happen in 80 hours. I don't know if there'll be another surprise. I have no idea what Clinton campaign has up its sleeves, or for that matter, the Donald Trump campaign. It could happen Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. One of those days, something is going to be in the news that on its surface might give you the impression that that will tilt it one way or the other. I don't really think so. I'm not saying that might be the impression you get. It would have to be really big, and I mean really big, to change people's minds. And most people by now, I think, have made up their mind. There's still a small percentage, I think less than 5% of the voters, that haven't made up their mind. They're still on the fence for one reason or another. And keep in mind that if you compare Hillary's campaign events with Trump's, the noticeable difference is just the sheer number of people coming out. Now, many of you might not think that's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. Why? That's usually at least a half day or full day affair. And many of these rallies are on work days. People normally are working. And it usually is at least 6 to 8 hours because you got to drive there, find parking, get in line, go through security, then wait for Donald Trump to come, hear the speech, and then turn around and go home. And that usually is 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, again, depending on where you're coming from. And people are coming from far away, usually in the same state. That's not the case with Hillary Clinton. And that needs to be pointed out because guess what? Mainstream media, what I call big lie media, doesn't do that. They do not point that out. They don't want to because then it looks like Hillary Clinton is not going to win. There's a reason they don't pan the audience. There's a reason that camera is always pointed at the podium and that's it. Oh, occasionally they'll pull back so you get a bigger view. But they don't at all show how many people are in attendance. They don't want to do that because it looks really, really bad if you compare a Trump event with a Hillary Clinton event. And Trump, usually you're talking thousands of people, not tens or hundreds, thousands. So Trump has the advantage in that when he gives his speeches, they're well attended. But you don't overgeneralize that. But it's a good indicator of enthusiasm, passion for the candidate. They like the guy. Now, many people might like the guy, but can't afford that time going to the rally. And they don't want an argument at work as to who they're going to vote for, so they shut their mouths. They are going to vote. And what I think you're seeing here is a silent majority. They're not talking to pollsters. They're not talking at work, but they silently support Donald Trump because they don't like what the elites of both parties have been doing. Donald Trump is an outsider. He beat establishment Republican candidates. Remember, who was going to be the candidate? Had it locked up. Had the most money. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush. He didn't last very long, and he spent most of his money on negative campaign ads going after Donald Trump. It didn't work. And that's what Hillary Clinton is doing right now. Remember, it's usually the last 21 days when people start to focus in on the candidate. The people that have not made up their mind or really don't like politics. Most candidates, the lion's share of the money they spend is in that last 21-day period. And obviously, as you get closer to Election Day, the media buys are greater. So they'll start their campaign. And this is especially true in so-called swing states or battleground states, such as Florida, such as Pennsylvania, such as Ohio. That's why I keyed on those. if both Florida and Ohio are wins for Trump, and I think that's in the cards, then all eyes will be on Pennsylvania. And Trump's message in Pennsylvania is resonating, and he's had many stops in Pennsylvania getting out his message. Now, where I think Trump is weak, and I've said this all along, is why he has the money. Not as much as Hillary Clinton, but he has money. Does have an organization. That's where he's weak, and I'll come back to it in a minute. His big advantage, though, he has the right message. Hillary Clinton can't run on her record because it's one of failure, disasters. She can't really run on her policies because if the voters truly knew what she was for, such as open borders, they'd never elect her. So she can't have messages, ads on TV, commercials, and tell the truth about either her record or her positions. So what has she done? And she's deliberately done this. Her campaign is largely very negative, many of them untrue, negative campaign ads against Donald Trump. And that's all she's got. In my mind, that's desperation. But there's another problem with it. The American people don't trust her. And if they don't trust her, they don't listen to her. So why she can run and is running a lot of negative campaign ads in Ohio, in Pennsylvania, in Florida, and some of the close states, New Hampshire, because every electoral vote counts. Much of that is wasted money because people are turning it off. They don't want to hear a word she says. They don't believe a word she says. That's her challenge. She has the money. She has the organization. Her message just doesn't resonate. It's not effective. It could be a very great commercial, but if you don't believe what's being said, so what? And it will be a big waste of money. Now, does that mean it has no effect? No, that's not true at all, because you have people that will take it on face values. I call them the dummies on the street, the people that politics, they're not interested in politics. They're interested in something else. It could be their job. It could be college. It could be sports, games, whatever they're interested in, whatever their passion is, and the one thing their passion is not, it's not politics. So those voters, to the extent that they're clueless, I call them the dummies on the street, the dots, and they are clueless. They don't know they don't keep up with this at all. Anything they hear in politics, they usually shut off, except when you're in that window and they know that, well, Tuesday I might go vote, who should I vote for? Oh, they'll listen to friends. They'll listen to their parents, and they may or may not vote on November 8th. They're the last-minute voters, the people at the very last minute decide who they're for. That's the first decision. Then they have to decide, well, do I want to waste my time and go down? And if the polls say that Clinton is winning, I think I'll just stay home. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is it's a dead heat. No one really knows who's going to win. I don't know who's going to win. I have my opinion, and I'll probably give it to you Monday. I'm waiting to see if anything happens tonight, Saturday, or Sunday. And if anything does, or for that matter, Monday, if anything does, will it have any effect on the election? Maybe it will, maybe it won't. And let's review a point, and it's a rather key point. The way I see it is both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have a problem. People have been leaving both parties. They're called independents. Independents today are anywhere from 40 to 45% of the voters. Now, Gallup routinely polls these people, and when you're in an election year, that number tends to go down, some cases even less than 40. But for purposes of discussion, about 40% are independents. They don't consider themselves Democrats, although in the past they might have voted Democrat their entire life. But they finally got sick of the party and the direction it's going. The same is true of the Republican Party. Today, each party has about 30%. That's their base. In addition to that base, they have Gallup will ask the independents, do you lean Republican or lean Democrat? And that's more or less a 50-50 proposition. So if you add the leaners that are independents to the Democrat-Republican base, each party starts out at 40% each. Keep that number in mind. That is the flaw. Trump will get at least 40%, and Hillary Clinton will get at least 40%. But what's left? Of the 40% that are independents, half of them are leaners, so they've already already counted. You have another 20% of the voters that are independents. Some of those voters will go where? They'll vote Libertarian, Gary Johnson, or they'll vote Green Party, Jill Stein. If you've been following the polls and following the trends, what's happened? Both Gary Johnson, and Jill Stein's numbers have gone down, down, and down. I think both together on Election Day, maybe we'll get 5%. They could get more, but I think once you add the Libertarian Green Party together, 5% is about what they'll get. Could get a little less, I don't think so, but 5% total for both of them. What does that leave? Follow my math, it leaves 15%. There are the independents that don't lean Democrat, don't lean Republican. Many of them made up their mind. Many of them haven't. And though that 15% is what both the Clinton campaign and the Trump campaigns try to zero in on. And that's where having a good ground game, in other words, having field offices in towns and cities across this country can pay off if you can identify who they are. Are they likely voters, and who are they likely to vote for, your candidate or the other candidate? So both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are fighting over 15%. By Monday, I'll tell you my opinion, not a poll, my opinion as to how that breaks. How much do I think Trump will get of that 15%, and how much Hillary Clinton will get? What's important to understand is momentum. The momentum now is clearly in Donald Trump's favor. He's going up in the polls, and he should be attracting a larger portion of that 15%. But you got to let time play out. I think if there are any major surprises, they should have happened by now, because it usually takes at least a week before people hear about it. Not the news junkies such as me or the talk radio show hosts. I'm talking the general public. The only exception to that is where it favors Hillary Clinton. Then big lie media will make sure every newscast and every news story tells you the latest development and how that favors Hillary Clinton. If it doesn't favor Hillary Clinton, you're not going to hear about it. Certainly not on your television stations, and I'm including Fox to a certain extent. But you will hear it on talk radio, for sure. And millions, tens of millions of people every day, many of them either going to work or coming to work or at lunch, listen to talk radio. And you know all the names. And there is a split in talk radio hosts. Some are for Trump, some are never Trump. Some are like me, they're not voting, but that's a small segment. Some are part of what I call Republican radio. I have one person in mind. He's going to vote Trump, but he really can't stand him. There's a little personal animosity between him and Trump. So you will hear through talk radio what's going on. But that takes time, folks. That's why if there is going to be a major surprise that could impact the vote, it should have happened by now. And I think the Clinton campaign has run out of surprises. They've popped all the surprises they could, and it hasn't really damaged or slowed down Trump that much. Oh, it did slow him down for a couple of weeks, but he's recovered. Right now, the way I read it, it's a dead heat. And if that's the case, that means of that 15%, 7.5% will go to Hillary, and 7.5% of some number registered voters would go to each of the candidates. But that's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. It's going to break one way or the other. There's going to be a surge either towards Hillary or towards Trump. Right now, given the momentum, that surge will be towards Trump. In other words, he might get 8% or 9% of the independents. If the race is too close, it could be stolen. Within 1%, it could be stolen. I don't think so, but it could. If Trump can get at least a 3% margin over where Hillary's at, he will win. If he gets 5%, he has a mandate. If he gets 10%, he has a landslide, and I don't think he'll get 10%. That means he would have to get all of the independents that have not really decided yet. I don't think he's going to do that. He'll get a lot of them, and if you look at internals of some of these polls, Donald Trump has fairly consistently, although the numbers have gone up and down, has gotten the lion's share of the independents, and that's something you got to keep in mind. So to sum up, both have their baseline, if you will, of 40%. So that's 80. 5% approximately go to the other parties, Libertarian and Green Party. And the gentleman from Utah, the Mormon running for president, Mike might win. I don't think so, but he might. That's the Mitt Romney mischief candidate. Good candidate, but if he wanted to run as a Republican, he should have run as a Republican, as should have Mitt Romney. And maybe Mitt Romney's regretting it, but you need to get in the arena. And if you don't want to get in the arena, then I think you should, unless you're a talk radio show host, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell people who you're going to vote for. Don't cause mischief. And that, unfortunately, is what Mitt Romney did. And I didn't vote for Mitt Romney when he lost to Obama the second time because he's a progressive. He's a big government progressive. I'm never going to vote for a progressive. I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican because I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I'm waiting for that new party to suddenly emerge, and it will, when independents are 50 to 60% of the voters. But there's a race going on. That has to happen truly in the next 15, 16 years, or it's not going to end well. And it could even end violently. So we need a formation of a third party, one that truly, whoever runs under the banner of that third party, whatever the name is, for purposes of discussion, call them independents or principled independents. And what are some of the principles? They believe in representative government. They truly believe in the United States Constitution. They believe that the people that run for office should be honest, should have character, should have integrity. And they truly want the budget to be balanced, reform of the tax system to go to something like a fair tax. They want limited government. They want the downsizing of the federal government. You're not going to see any of that from the Democratic Party. No, they just want bigger and bigger massive government, and the same with the Republican Party. The only difference between the two parties today is where they want to spend the money. Is it for warfare or is it for welfare? And what is the mix? What's the percentage? Both of them want to grow the federal government, expand its role, its size, and truly invade your lives. They want to limit your freedom. It's about control, and they want to control you and make you dependent on the government. That's why I'm not voting Democrat for sure, and I'm certainly only on a very selective basis, and I mean highly selective basis, could I even vote for a Republican. Donald Trump, in my mind, has always been a New York City, a Manhattan liberal Democrat. He's for big government. Doesn't mean that a liberal Democrat on some issues I would agree with him, and I do. He says he's pro-life. I believe him. Although for many, many years he was pro-abortion, and I remember that. He is for protecting our rights under the Constitution, specifically the Second Amendment right, your right to keep and bear arms. To a certain extent, he supports the First Amendment. I get a little nervous, though, when he talks about going after the press. No, Donald, not if you have freedom of the press. Yeah, the press is unfair, life is unfair. And I understand why you don't like to be lied about. No one does. But that's a given if you're going to run for public office, especially as a Republican. You know, so-called mainstream media, big lie media, are not going to be on your side. They're going to be trying to tear you down. They're not going to change their colors because you're running. We all know who ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN are, and to a large extent, even Fox. They're normally not for the Republican candidate. If anything, most of the time, some would say all the time, they're for the Democratic candidate, no matter who it is, no matter what they stand for, as are the newspapers. For example, Hillary Clinton is for open borders. She wants to continue the invasion of this country. She wants to give legal status to all the illegal aliens that are here, 30 to 50 million. And once that's accomplished, and that is their strategy, what happens? Bye-bye Republican Party. And I mean it. Because at least 2 out of 3, if not 3 out of 4, of those illegal aliens, should they ever get citizenship, and that's what we're talking about, that's what she wants all the illegals to have, with few exceptions. Yeah, we won't give citizenship to the murderers and the rapists, but everyone else, if you got here, you're working here, here's your citizenship paper. American people don't support that at all. That's why Donald Trump, I think, will get more than half of that 15% of the independents that are still up for grabs. And fewer up for grabs because they're going to make up their mind. They're making up their, they've been making up their mind for the last 3 weeks. And no one knows which way they're going to jump. But the momentum is in what direction? Donald Trump's direction, not Hillary Clinton. They don't trust her. She is under investigation by the FBI. Now, the one area that has not gotten enough attention, and in many people's minds they're confused, is the Clinton Foundation and Hillary's role when she was Secretary of State and what the Clinton Foundation was doing. We have a situation here of public corruption. Some would call it bribery, where large donors, foreign donors, were making charitable contributions to the Clinton Family Charitable Foundation. That's fine. I have no problems with that. But is that the real reason all these countries were given the money? No, they wanted something. People don't give you millions of dollars and not want something. Yes, first and foremost, they wanted a meeting. They wanted access to Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State, and that happened. And they got a lot of stuff for it, a lot of military contracts, amongst other things. The FBI is conducting a criminal investigation of Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation, and specifically her and her husband's role when she was Secretary of State. And how were meetings arranged through the Clinton Foundation and the people that worked there, arranged with who? The people in the State Department working for Hillary Clinton. That is an active, ongoing investigation involving the New York City, Little Rock, Arkansas, Los Angeles, and Washington, D.C. FBI offices. Keep in mind, James Comey has not said anything about this. What he said last July pertained to what? The email situation and her handling of government documents as well as classified documents. And I don't have time, nor will I play again that statement, but it pertains strictly to the emails. Now, he's been criticized, as he should be. I thought he did the wrong thing. I thought the right thing here was to recommend that the Justice Department pursue a criminal investigation, a criminal case against Hillary Clinton. He was told in uncertain terms by Loretta Lynch that that was not going to happen, as well as her people. But that's what he should have done. He didn't do that. Instead, he went public early July of this year, laid out the case, the evidence they had, and then said, well, I'm not going to recommend that they pursue it because they couldn't improve intent. That was nonsense. You don't have to prove intent. He's rewriting the law on cases involving the mishandling of classified documents. Intent doesn't matter. In some cases, in many cases, it does, not in this. So he was applying and making up his own standard, and he was roundly criticized by oversight committees that investigated that decision. There were plenty of prosecutors that would have prosecuted this. You need to understand, though, and I need to repeat myself here, the FBI does not indict, nor charge, nor calls for a grand jury. That's the Department of Justice job. That's their responsibility. They should have taken responsibility for the case. Instead, he did. He didn't have to do this. He should have done the right thing. He wouldn't do that. If he wasn't going to do the right thing, then ship all the evidence over. I'm hereby submitting the evidence that we've gathered. The right thing would have said, I'm recommending that based on the evidence that we've accumulated, that we impanel a grand jury and present the evidence to them with the aim of indicting and charging her. He didn't do that. He didn't do the right thing. He did the political thing because he knew the President of the United States and Loretta Lynch were not going to back him, nor are the other political appointees and most of the attorneys in the Department of Justice. So he punted, and I think he's regretting it to this day. So I wanted to make clear that Hillary Clinton is under investigation and will be under investigation no matter what. Whether she wins or loses, the investigation will go on. Will it end in an indictment? I doubt it, because I've said, if you listen to this show, Barack Obama, and I've said this months ago, folks, is going to pardon her. Whether she wins or loses, is going to pardon her. What does that do? It ends this. And I'm talking pardon her on the emails. And maybe the Clinton Foundation. But when I said pardon, I was referring to what? Her handling of classified information. Why? The president was sending emails to her and getting emails from her. He knew she wasn't using a government server. He's complicit in this. He didn't exercise his authority and say, Hillary, you can't do that. That's what should have been said. He didn't do that. He let her get away with it. And James Comey knew this. And the president lied. You know, they all lie. Well, I just found out about this email server in March. No, he didn't. Because he had been sending emails, get this, under a fictitious and anonymous name. In other words, a phony name. That's what was going on. Yes, we have a lot of lying, a lot of deceit, and a lot of criminal behavior that may never see a courtroom. And even if it does see a courtroom, the person probably will never see the inside of a prison cell. Hillary Clinton, whether you like it or not, believes she's above the law. As does Bill Clinton, because they've been getting away with it for years. Come Tuesday, the American people have to make a decision. Do you believe Hillary Clinton is above the law? If you do, then vote for her. If she's your cup of tea, vote for her. I don't really care. I think she's corrupt. I have a name for her. I call her the Clipper. She's a corrupt, lying, incompetent, progressive politician. And she's proud of the last two, by the way. That's also a eugenics racist. The Clipper. The Clipper Hillary. And she's leaking, and I think she's sinking. She's definitely sinking in the polls. And you'll notice they plan to spend some time in states that normally they wouldn't, such as Michigan. If Hillary Clinton had a mandate, had a landslide, normally what you would be seeing this time is she would be going into states like Texas and other states, Republican states, red states, and campaign for the Democratic candidate. She's not doing that. She's concerned that she's losing her base. She thought she would have Florida. She thought she would have Pennsylvania. She thought she would have Ohio. And she thought she would have Michigan. And now those races are too close to call. They're tied. They're within the margin of error. So she's having to spend money, namely advertising, negative ads in these states, as well as going to the states to rally the base. And that tells me there's weakness there. And they know they're in trouble. Now, they're still going to have a happy face because who puts out these polls? The major television networks and the newspapers. Hillary Clinton is going to win. No, it won't be 10 or 11 or 12%. It'll be maybe 3%, maybe a little higher. Or maybe she's losing and everyone knows it and they can't say it. That's the one thing they can't show in the poll. She's really losing or she's tied. And that will not cross their lips. They will go into Election Day Hillary Clinton winning, but it could be a squeaker and get out the vote. And that's where, ostensibly, that's Hillary's strong point, namely she has organization. Well, if she has organization, she shouldn't be tied. She certainly shouldn't be behind, especially in traditional states such as Pennsylvania, which I think the last time, I think it was 1988 that the Republicans won Pennsylvania. That's a long time ago. Same thing with Nevada, Michigan, Colorado. Hillary Clinton's in trouble, folks. Note, I didn't say she's going to lose yet. But Trump has the momentum. The question is, will the so-called organization get out the vote? Well, they can't even get him out to an event. I will concede that voting is not as time-consuming, although if there are long lines, it may be. The problem is the people don't trust her, and that includes Democrats. That includes independents. That certainly includes Republicans, and it certainly includes me. I don't trust her. I would never vote for anyone, any candidate, any office that I believe the person is dishonest. I certainly wouldn't vote for them if I thought they were under FBI investigation, and they are. The one involving public corruption, her use or selling of the State Department access to it, that's going to continue no matter what. And I think ultimately that will bring down the Clintons. It will take, however, the election of Trump and the appointment of an independent special prosecutor. And I'm not a fan of them either, but I simply lack trust in the Department of Justice because it very much has been politicized over the last 8 years. Can and will be persuaded that most likely an independent prosecutor is the way to go. Someone that has no axe to grind, knows what they're doing, knows how to prosecute a case, and independently investigates it, and let the chips fall where they may. If there's a case there, make the case. If there isn't a case there, then don't. But you need subpoena power. You need to get search warrants. You need to impanel a grand jury to do all that and go to a judge and ask for that. And that's what's being blocked by the Justice Department. That's why I have no confidence, don't trust the Department of Justice. They're corrupt. Let's cut to the chase. They're corrupt. And the FBI can get just so far. They can investigate all they want. They can get all the evidence. It could be a open and shut case. But if the Justice Department and the people in it won't pursue it, what's going to happen? Nothing is going to happen. And then if Barack Obama, after Election Day, prior to his last day in office, provides her a pardon, it's over with. And it'll be a fairly, I think, significant pardon. Many say he won't do that because that will tarnish his legacy. Ladies and gentlemen, his legacy is a mess. It's a disaster. He doesn't have a legacy. And they're getting desperate. You can tell by the words both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are using. It's all about a personal attack on the temperament of Donald Trump. The reality is much different because anyone can go online, go to YouTube and listen to one or several of Donald Trump's stump speeches. I think he has the temperament. He's definitely sticking to the issues. Oh, he'll spend 5 or 10 minutes at most talking about Hillary Clinton. But most of what he's talking about is a new direction for the country, which the majority of this country want. At least 2 out of 3 Americans want a new direction. So if you haven't decided yet who you're going to vote for, that's the easiest thing to do. In my mind, there's not even a decision here. If you like the status quo, you like the way the country has been run for the last 8 years, then vote for Hillary Clinton. That's not hard, do you? You're being a minority. I would say less than 30% of the country truly believe that. And because of that, doesn't mean they're for Trump. But we know the economy would continue to stagnate. Government would get bigger and bigger. We would still have Obamacare. And we've seen the lack of results, positive results, when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. We were a much secure country before Barack Obama became president, and after that, after he did, and after 4 years of Hillary Clinton, we have instability throughout the Middle East as well as North Africa that can be traced directly to the actions or inactions of the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton. And a lot of it was at the instigation of Hillary Clinton, namely to use covert means, namely the CIA, to go into Libya. And we know how that turned out. Dead Americans and our entire embassy staff fleeing the country. And we have chaos reigning in Libya, where various groups are fighting each other. I'm not going to go over that, but if you're fine with the status quo, Hillary Clinton is your candidate. If you're all for open borders and the continuing invasion of this country by millions, usually 2, 3, 4 million a year, not only coming over the U.S.-Mexican border, but flying in here and overstaying their visas, then Hillary Clinton is your candidate. If you're dependent on the government, you're a moocher. Hillary Clinton is your candidate. And if you like someone that can lie to you with a straight face, Hillary Clinton is your candidate. She's not my candidate. I would never vote for her. She's beyond damaged goods. She's a wrecking crew. And she would continue. Yes, she would be the third term of Barack Obama. God forbid. We've had 8 years of it and hasn't turned out well, has it? And maybe, just maybe, more and more blacks will wake up. She needs more than 90% of the black vote. I don't think she's going to get the black vote, by the way. She's going to get maybe 80, 85, but she needs 90, 95, so that'll help. That will not help her, and she needs to get that vote out. Good luck. I'm sure she'll figure a way. So you do have a choice, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. You know, at least by his public statements, his statements on his website, where Donald Trump stands. Both on taxes, he wants to lower them. On immigration, he wants to build the wall and enforce immigration law. And he wants more or less a non-interventionist foreign policy with the exception of eliminating the Islamic State. Now, I'm not going to review his entire agenda, but it's a different direction. It's a growth direction. Where I have problems with both candidates is in the area of government spending. They like to call it investment. I call it what it is. Government spending that requires more and more taxes from you to do what? Spend it on what the government thinks you need. I prefer that you keep your money and spend it on what you think you need. And if you're a business, invest your money and expand your business. We don't need the government taxing us and then telling us they're investing in us, like Hillary Clinton does. We don't need any help deciding what's in our best interest. And that means from the Democrats or the Republicans. I'm looking at the time. I'm going to wrap it up. There'll be more stories Saturday and Sunday. We're not on the air Saturday and Sunday. But Monday, I'll give you my final prediction as to where I think all this is going to turn out. Right now, the momentum is clearly going in Donald Trump's direction, and Hillary has been falling in the polls. She's starting to level out, but she has been falling. And that's why you're seeing these tied in various states. The Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton and her campaign are in panic mode, as is the president. This is not what was supposed to happen. Remember, they wanted to run against who? Donald Trump. They thought they could beat him hands down. That's why initially the media built Donald Trump up, up, and up, and he won the nomination, and now they're tearing him down, down, and down. But a funny thing happened in the last months. Slowly but surely, Donald Trump inched his way back. He is now dead even with Hillary Clinton. Within the margin of error, there are still about 80 hours to go. And what really counts, the poll that counts, the only poll that counts, is when you go to the poll and vote for your candidate of choice. I'm staying home. I'm not going to vote for the lesser of the two evils. I'm tired of that, because that has given the status quo for decades. That is the tyranny of the two-party system. You got two choices, plastic or paper, Democrat or Republican, in this case, Clinton or Trump. I think we could do a lot better, a lot better. But given the nastiness of this campaign, are you really surprised that the best and the brightest, the virtuous and the wisest, stay away from politics? I'm not. And that's the true tragedy, because I think there are many, many thousands of people like that that would toss their hats in the ring, in the arena, and could do a much better job than either the Democratic Party or Republican Party has done and their candidates. And if we don't get another third party soon, we're simply running out of options, alternatives, time. We're running out of time, because this does not end well. Some have predicted 2024. I think it'll be 2030, maybe the mid-2030s. The reason I say that, that's when the entire baby boom generation is retiring and collecting what? Social Security and Medicare benefits. You cannot run these massive deficits year in, year out, and they will be growing, the debt will be growing, and no one is even talking about what to do about it. That's the real missed opportunity. We're wasting time and having to listen to campaign ads dealing with two personalities. One, the Clipper Hillary, crooked, lying, incompetent, progressive politician, eugenic racist, Hillary Clinton. I know some of you are saying, what is he talking about, eugenics racist? I'm very pro-life. We had in this country a history that many people don't know, part of the progressive movement, and Hillary Clinton is a progressive politician. That she admits to. The rest she doesn't. But part of that progressive movement, and we had it both in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, was the eugenics movement. They believe that certain races, the white race in particular, is better than other races. They divided people into the fit and the unfit. And one of the activists in that movement was a lady called Margaret Sanger. Yes, that Margaret Sanger that gave us Planned Parenthood. And Hillary Clinton got the endorsement of Planned Parenthood, as well as the Margaret Sanger Award. She admires Margaret Sanger, a racist, a eugenics movement activist that wants to kill the most defenseless human beings in America, babies in the womb. And you want to elect her? I can't. That alone disqualifies her from my vote. I could never vote for anyone that supports that and thinks like that. I don't even care if they're a libertarian or any party. I refuse. That is what I call a deal-breaking issue. And we all have deal-breaking issues. Another one is immigration. She's for open borders. That's what's ruining this country. I'm for legal immigration as long as it's controlled and limited. And the American people, in poll after poll, by large majorities, want the illegal invasion of this country stopped. They want immigration law enforced. She doesn't. She wants to continue the practices of Barack Obama, namely ignoring immigration law, not enforcing it, and encouraging people to come to the United States. And she wants refugees from the Middle East, where their terrorism is going on right now, that we can't vet at all, and everyone knows it. And yes, some of them will be terrorists. Is this someone you want as your next president? Someone that's under investigation by the FBI on at least two major fronts, namely the emails and the handling of classified documents, government documents, as well as public corruption, bribery? She should not even be on the ticket. She shouldn't be running. Yet this is what the Democratic Party gave us. Hillary Clinton. If you vote for her, you deserve what you get. Should she be elected? I don't think she will be, because people simply don't trust her. They're not turning out. They don't like her. They don't trust her. Oh, yeah, she'll get the loyalists. She'll get the Kool-Aid drinkers. They have a base. I'm not denying they don't have a base. The core base is about 30% of the voters on a very good day. And then when you combine that with the propaganda put out by big lie media, you get to 40%. You get some of those independents, that lean Democrat. But that, on a very good day, is the most you get. The rest you're going to have to fool into voting for. And she might succeed at that. I'm amazed she's the candidate, and I'm amazed she's gotten this far. She deserves to be defeated, as does Barack Obama. You don't want to continue his policies. And if anything, Hillary Clinton is Barack Obama on steroids. She has failed at almost everything she has done. I could never vote for that woman. Now, I won't vote for Trump because he's running as a Republican. And I do have some trust issues with him. And it's in the immigration area. That might surprise you. Because I think he's going to go along with the Republican establishment that wants touchback amnesty. In other words, you got to go home. All the illegal aliens that are here, the 30 to 50 million, have to go home. We're going to enforce the law. You're going to have to go home, either voluntarily or we'll force you. But then we're going to set up an expedited visa process and you can come back. Does the American people want that? The American people does not want that. That, frankly, is a rather stupid policy. But Donald Trump has said it in the debate. He doesn't mention it much. You'll notice, in fact, he doesn't mention it at all. He did allude to it in the debate. And that's what the Republican leadership wants. They want to make all the illegal aliens that are here citizens of the United States. That's what both parties want to do. Why? Because the owner-donor class, the people that own this country, the millionaires, the billionaires with the big bucks, they make the big campaign contributions to both parties, and the Republican Party wants that money. They're bought and paid for politicians, Democrats and Republicans, and they go along with the number one item that the owner-donor class wants, and that is legalized immigration, where all the illegal aliens, after a period of time, get citizenship. They want cheap, compliant labor, and they don't care about the American worker, and that's what they're about. The only way to stop this, and it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you have to send a message to both parties. And Donald Trump is very much a protest message. We're not going to put up with this rubbish anymore. And should Donald Trump betray us, he can be replaced. No one is indispensable, and that includes Donald Trump. So you don't have much of a choice. It's Donald Trump, and be careful of Donald Trump. I'm staying home. I'm exercising what I call the George Carlin option. George Carlin was a comedian. He passed away several years ago. I'll get into that on my next show. But I have that option for the simple reason Texas is going to stay Republican. It's a red state, and Donald Trump will win by at least 3%, 4%, 5%, 6%. I don't know, but he's going to win. Hillary Clinton is not visiting Texas. Note that. She is visiting Michigan. She is visiting Pennsylvania, North Carolina. Why? Trump is surging and looks like he's in striking distance. And if he strikes on Election Day and his momentum brings him over the finish line, that's all it wrote for the Clintons and their network and their crime family. And bye-bye third term for Barack Obama. And I've been noticing both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are rather shrill, or rather personal in their criticisms of Trump. That is a sign of desperation. They're panicking. They've resorted to the bottom of the barrel. Sheer insults. That is not a way to win people over, especially the undecided. Where I see that, I run from it. I'm not attracted to it. Thank you for listening. I'm sure this is going to be a very interesting weekend. Hopefully there'll be no surprises. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.